This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah that we are able to sit in a masjid, a house from the houses of Allah. And we are here to recite and listen to the verses of Allah. And we are here to remember Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count this gathering among those gatherings which are for His sake, a gathering that the angels surround, a gathering that the angels witness, and a gathering that is such that sakina, tranquility descends on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends on every single one of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions us before His angels. Ameen. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Was-salatu was-salamu ala rasulihil kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma ihdi qalbi wa saddid lisani wasrul sakhimata qalbi. Ameen ya rabbal alamin.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات فمن كان من مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون أحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهم علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم فتاب عليكم وعفى عنكم فالآن باشروهن وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتم الصيام إلى الليل ولا تباشروهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها كذلك يبين الله آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون.
The verses that we just listened to are verses from Surah Al-Baqarah, and these verses very comprehensively explain to us the not only the obligation of fasting, but also how fasting is of benefit to us. The importance of the month of Ramadan, our connection with the Quran, and what we can do when we're not able to fast. Also the importance of dua, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the length of fasting. All of these details are mentioned in these verses. Now, I would like to go over these verses very briefly so that these verses serve as a reminder for all of us. Because as the month of Ramadan approaches, you know, we know we're supposed to fast. But of course, there's that fear, you know, or some level of hesitation, or we lack that motivation, right? Or we're apprehensive about, you know, how things will work out. And the thing is that the verses in the Quran, they serve as not only, information, as in, of course, they inform us as to what we are supposed to do, but they're also a means of encouragement for us, a means of motivation for us. And all of us are in need of that motivation so that we, purify our intentions and we are more eager and happy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when it comes to fasting, it is well known that this is one of the pillars of Islam, fasting in the month of Ramadan. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the first ayah over here that, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been obligated on you, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, just as it was obligated on those before you. And why has it been obligated on you? La'allakum tattaqoon. In order that you may develop taqwa, in order that you may become pious, in order that you may save yourselves. And if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us different types of commands, right? When it comes to fasting, fasting is directly related to our lifestyle, right? Meaning what we eat, when we eat, when we don't eat. Likewise, when it comes to fasting, you know, we are refraining from eating and drinking, right? Then there are other acts of worship in which we are required to do something. Like, for example, salah, you don't just sit and think about salah, right? Salah is not just an intention. Salah is an action. It requires that you go make wudu. It requires that you see how you're dressed. It requires that you face a certain direction and you perform certain actions. And it's not just actions, right? It's also words that you have to say. When it comes to Hajj, you cannot just do Hajj at home. Can you? You can't. You have to go, you have to travel all the way, right? And you can't even do Hajj just in your hotel room in the city of Makkah. No, you have to go to certain places and perform certain rituals on certain days, at certain times, right? When it comes to zakat, zakat is not about an action that you go and help people out. Zakat is about giving your money, right? Zakat cannot be done by smiling at people, right? You cannot give zakat by giving people a good word of advice, by giving them a pat on the back. No, you have to give from your money, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us different types of commands so that we worship Allah azza wa jal through every aspect of our existence. Every part of our being. We use our restraint for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We eat when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to eat, right? We give from our wealth so that our spending also becomes an act of worship. We travel, we go to different places so that even that becomes an act of worship. And why is that so? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for what purpose? For what purpose? To worship Him, right? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinn and men except so that they should worship me. The purpose of our existence is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So the month of Ramadan is a month of worship. When we are refraining from eating and drinking, and we are eating and drinking at times that we are not usually accustomed to, this is all a way of showing servitude to Allah, showing complete surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us and He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have believed. And you know what? This is the most honorable way that a person can be addressed. You know, for example, there may be some people in your lives who call you mom. Okay? And the title mom is nice, right? Maybe there are some people in your life who call you teacher, miss, right? And that is also an honorable title. But you know, the greatest, the most honorable title, description that you can have is that you are a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. And this is why when Allah says this in the Quran, we should pay attention. Because we want to be of these people, right? We want to be of those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing. So, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, what is Allah telling us? Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been obligated on you. And who is the one who has obligated fasting on us? It is Allah. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated things on us is not to make our lives difficult. Okay? Because when you think about fasting and you think about not eating, not drinking, and you know, you get these questions everywhere, every year, not even water, right? Really from before sunrise until sunset, like the entire day. You know, when you think about that, some people may pity you. Right? And it's possible that people at work, people at school, they might look at you and they might feel bad for you that, oh, you're fasting. But fasting is not to make our lives difficult. It is not to torture us. It is not to burden us. Nor is any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that reason. You know, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for our benefit. And it is for our joy, for our happiness, real happiness. Because, you know, when you eat something nice, and even if it's a big serving, and even if it tastes perfect, you enjoy it, but tell me, afterwards, how do you feel? How do you feel? For example, you eat at a fancy restaurant, right? You finish your meal, and when you get your bill, do you ever wonder, I don't know if it was worth it? Yeah? Does that thought ever come to you? Maybe not at that time, but then at the end of the month when you see your bill, your Visa bill or whatever, your bank account, your bank statement, right? You wonder, I don't know if those $50 were necessary. There's that heaviness, right? And let's not talk about the heaviness that our body feels, right? After we eat something heavy or even something delicious, right? But when you fast all day and you break your fast, how do you feel? You feel a sense of accomplishment, right? You feel real joy. And then when, alhamdulillah, you complete the month of Ramadan like that, how do you feel then? You feel even happier, right? And this is why it's amazing that Muslims do more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on them. If you think about it, the five daily prayers that are obligated on us, do we perform only the fara'id? No, we do nafil as well, right? And not just the sunnah prayers, tahajjud, witr, tahiyyatul wudu, right? And other prayers. Likewise, when it comes to fasting, the the voluntary fasts are way more than the obligatory fasts, right? Obligatory fasts are how many? 29 or 30, right? But when it comes to voluntary fasts, if you fast 3 days every month, 11 months, how many is that? 33. That's just the 3 days. Add to that the Mondays and the Thursdays. Add to that the fasts of Dhul-Hijjah and the fasts of Muharram and so on and so forth. So many fasts, right? And so the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on us, they're not for our hardship. They're for our happiness. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to Bilal about salah, that arihna biha ya Bilal. That, oh Bilal, bring us comfort, bring us joy. Meaning go and make the adhan, you know, give the iqama so that we can pray, so that we can relax. We can relax. When people go for Umrah, Umrah is tiring physically, but how do they feel? Very good. And you envy them, right? You envy them that, oh, they went, they're going, I wonder when I will get to go, right? And if you think about it, this is not a vacation that you go and do sightseeing and you go and just eat, you know, nice food and you relax. No, Umrah is about constantly being on your feet, right? Your sleep schedule completely upside down. So fasting is not to make our lives difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained it on us for our benefit. And before the benefit is told, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, just as it was prescribed on those before you. Meaning people before you used to fast because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them. This is how necessary and how beneficial fasting is, that people from the beginning have been fasting in servitude to Allah. So you being the best ummah, aren't you going to fast? Aren't you going to fast and reap those benefits? Because the best ummah has been given the best law, right? The best ummah has been given the best commands. So this means that fasting is excellent for us. And what is the benefit of fasting? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you may adopt taqwa. And what is taqwa? Taqwa is that a person protects themselves, that a person puts a shield between themselves and what is harmful. You know, and these days we have all been experiencing shields, isn't it? For the past, not little while, it's been a while, where we put a shield on our face or between our hands, any surface, right? Why? Because we want to save ourselves, right? And we know how important it is to protect ourselves. So like that, it is important that we save ourselves from danger in the hereafter, right? And that danger is far more serious than any disease in this world. It is far more scary. You know, if you think about it, when it comes to this, when it comes to COVID, I mean, a person may be sick and they recover within a week, 2 weeks, 15 days. But then there are, you know, lingering effects, like, for example, fatigue, which just does not seem to go away for months and months, or a lingering cough that does not seem to go away. And you wonder, when am I going to feel normal again? Right? Now think about it. The punishment of the hereafter, that is far more painful, far more serious, and very, very long. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting has been prescribed so that we are protected, we are saved. Because when we fast, we are constantly in a state of worship. Fasting brings forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the sins that we have been committing for the past year, they get erased, right? Ramadan to Ramadan, we learn in hadith that that it is an expiation for whatever sins were committed in between. So لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, fasting is for our purification, our forgiveness, our safety, our protection. We need to fast for our benefit. And لعلكم تتقون also means that you may develop taqwa, that heightened sense of awareness, so that you shield yourself from disobeying Allah. You protect yourself, you stop yourself from doing anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. So how does fasting develop taqwa in us? How do you think so? Because when we're fasting, we are constantly staying away from food and drink, right? We're ever so careful, ever so careful. So just like that, when we fast, we become more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Lord is watching me, right? Allah is watching me. And you know, fasting is an act of worship that mainly depends on an intention. Okay, it's a hidden act of worship. All right, when a person is praying salah, you can see that they're praying, right? But when a person is fasting, how do you know they're fasting? You don't know, right? Other people don't know. The only person who knows they're fasting is who? The person themselves. Because it's possible that in front of others they don't eat, but when they're alone, they eat, right? So who knows whether you're fasting or not? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it becomes your direct connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, right? It becomes a secret between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. And so it brings you closer to Allah. It makes you more conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And taqwa is something that we all need, right? Because taqwa is a means of obtaining guidance from the Quran. And taqwa is a means of success for a believer in this life and the next. And when a person observes taqwa of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them ease in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them out of difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them sustenance. So we all are in need of taqwa. So fasting has been prescribed on you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you may adopt taqwa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that it is أَيَّامَ مَعْدُودَات. It is just a few numbered days. You know, when it is said that it's just numbered days, it means that it's just a few, not many. You know, for example, about Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the people sold him for a few dirham, meaning for some money that was ma'duda, darahima ma'duda. You know, darahim that you could count, meaning very few. Something that you can count on your fingers is something little, right? Not much in number. So ayyama ma'dudat, a few numbered days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated us to fast. And that is in the month of Ramadan, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. But then if a person is unwell or they're traveling, then they can fast in other days. Meaning if they're not able to fast in the month of Ramadan, then they will make up those fasts in other days throughout the year, right? Any other days. Now, before we talk about that, I want to talk a little bit about the importance and the benefit of fasting. First of all, we learned that fasting is a very unique act of worship, okay? Meaning there's nothing like it. The benefits that you get through fasting are benefits that you do not get through other deeds. In a hadith, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that عَلَيْكَ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا عِدْلَ لَهُ, that you must fast because there is no equivalent for it. There's nothing like it. In another hadith, we learn that fasting is from the abwab al-khayr, from the doors of goodness. Meaning it's not just one act of worship. It is a means of many other acts of worship and a means of many other things of benefit for a person. And we also learned that fasting is a shield. In another hadith, we learned that fasting is a hisn min husun al mu'min. It is a fortress from the fortresses of the believer. Meaning it is something that you find refuge in. It is something that you find safety in. How? Because when you're fasting, you're not going to be, you know, tempted to be watching movies or listening to things which are inappropriate or going to places or, you know, that you should not be going to or saying things that you should not be saying, right? It becomes a natural fortress for you, right? It protects you. We also learned that fasting is a shield from hellfire, and it is also a shield against the punishment of Allah. And the reward of fasting is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept hidden. Right? Because Allah says in a hadith we learn, wa ana ajzi bi, I will reward for it. So what is that reward? Don't know yet. A person will only find out in the hereafter. So ayyam ma'dudat, a few number days. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. And of course, every disease, every sickness and every travel is not such that a person should leave fasting. Rather, when a person is such that, you know, their sickness could get aggravated, it could get worse, recovery could get delayed, then they should refrain from fasting in the month of Ramadan, and they can make up those fasts at any other time of the year when they're feeling better. Likewise, when it comes to travel, just because a person is driving from, you know, from one end of the city to another end, or, you know, just 2 hours away, it doesn't mean that they should be, you know, refraining from fasting. But if travel is such that fasting is hard, then a person should refrain from fasting. And if fasting will be a source of great difficulty for a person, then they must refrain from fasting while traveling. Because we learned in a hadith about how, you know, some people did not break their fast. And when the Prophet ﷺ found out, he said, those are the disobedient ones. Those are the disobedient ones. In another hadith, we learned that once when people were traveling, there was a person who had fallen unconscious. Right, and people were providing shade to him. And when the Prophet ﷺ inquired, he was told that he's fasting. And he said, it is not of piety that a person fasts while traveling. Meaning you don't need to make things extremely difficult for yourself in order to earn reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ. And on those people who find it hard to fast because of a permanent condition or a long-term condition, then such a person can just give a fidya, right? A ransom. And that is ta'amu miskin, feeding someone who is needy. فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. And the one who does anything good voluntarily, then that is better for him. Some ulama say what this means is that if a person fasts and gives fidya, both, then this is excellent for him. And this is actually an encouragement to us that we fast in the month of Ramadan and we also feed those in need in the month of Ramadan. Because what does fasting make you experience? Hunger, right? And hunger is something that especially, you know, those of us living in the West do not experience that much. In fact, we have the other problem. Right, where we have too much to eat, so it becomes difficult for us to choose what to eat, what not to eat, and we have to kind of force ourselves to stop eating. We have to count our calories, we have to see our portions, things like that, right? But the main thing is that while we're fasting, we experience hunger. And when we experience hunger, we think about people who don't have any choice but to feel hungry. They have nothing to satisfy their hunger with. So in this is an encouragement that in the month of Ramadan, as you're fasting, also think about feeding others. And we learned that some ulama, what they would say is that the month of Ramadan is about recitation of the Quran and feeding people. Feeding people. And not just feeding those who are experiencing poverty, but also those who are around you, right? Because one of the most you know, beneficial acts of worship is that you feed people. In a hadith, we learned that that in paradise there are special homes, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them very beautifully, right? And he said that those homes are for, and he listed many different good qualities. Among those qualities are that those people who pray in the night and feed people. And if you think about it, in the month of Ramadan, these two acts of worship are combined, right? Another quality that he mentioned is that those who are good in their speech. And this is also something that happens in the month of Ramadan while you're fasting. You just become more careful, right? If typically you're used to yelling at your kids in the month of Ramadan while you're fasting, at least you're going to try not to yell, right? If you are used to being harsh with your siblings while you're fasting, you're going to at least try to be a little bit more gentle, right? Because that's what we have been advised to do. So all of these good qualities are combined together in the month of Ramadan, right? So فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you fast, that is better for you if you only knew. Meaning, fasting is definitely beneficial for us. And there are numerous benefits for the believer when it comes to fasting. There are, of course, benefits in this world, right, that you experience when you fast. For example, you realize how much you eat unnecessarily, right? That when you see that you can survive easily on a good meal, in the morning, at suhoor time, and then a proper meal when you break your fast, then you don't need to graze all day, right? Likewise, you become more careful about what you eat because you know that you can only eat a limited amount of food, right? And you can only eat at certain times. You cannot eat just any time of day. So then you become more careful. You know, for example, in the month of Ramadan, I am so particular about having salad with every iftar. And otherwise, throughout the year, I don't bother. And some days, yeah, you know, when you're feeling healthy and, you know, you want to make sure you're eating properly, yes, you'll make sure you'll have a salad. But in the month of Ramadan, I make sure every day there's some kind of salad. Why? Because I want to make sure we're putting good stuff in the body so that the body can, function good, right? You have energy throughout the day and things like that. So there are worldly benefits associated to fasting, right? And fasting is also a way of showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He has given us. That, and the gratitude that you experience when you break your fast, that sip of water, right? How grateful you feel, right? And in general, you develop the attitude of shukr. Likewise, we learn that because of fasting, a person develops the habit of self-control, self-restraint, which in general, you know, we struggle with. We really do struggle with. For example, we will tell our children, you can only use a screen for 1 hour, right? You can only play, on your gaming station, whatever, for 2 hours, hour and a half, 1 hour. We time them. We set timers. What about ourselves? Do you ever set a timer for yourself that I'm only going to spend 1 hour on WhatsApp all day long? Only 1 hour. Do you do that? No. For our children, we have so many rules. You can only chat with your friends once in the morning, once in the evening. And how often do we check our WhatsApp? No, really. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't impose the same restrictions on ourselves, right? We have a very different standard. SubhanAllah. When you're fasting, what happens is that you develop the habit of self-control because you're constantly saying no to yourself, right? You want to drink another sip. You want to drink another cup, but you're like, no, time's up, right? You want to say something that is negative, but you're like, no, I can't because it's going to ruin my fast, right? You want to just sit down and do nothing or maybe just watch TV, but then you tell yourself, no, I should be reciting Quran. I should be making some dhikr, right? So you are constantly controlling yourself while you're fasting. And if a person is married, again, they're controlling themselves in terms of their relationship with their spouse. So fasting develops in a person the habit of self-restraint, self-control. And fasting also breaks a person's shahwa. You know, shahwa, the carnal desires that we have, the desires that we have, which are technically, I mean, normal, because we're human, we are from this earth, right? But we are depriving ourselves of food and drink and physical intimacy with one spouse. We are depriving ourselves of that. We are taming our desire, right? We are breaking that, right? And that is necessary. Likewise, when a person fasts, then they also break the power of shaitan over them. Because in the month of Ramadan, shayateen are locked away anyway, right? And then throughout the month of Ramadan, you are doing things that shaitan does not like you to do. Shaitan typically stops you from. So you are going against the work of shaitan. You are breaking his influence on you. So these are all the benefits of fasting. The benefits in the hereafter are of course many as well. In a hadith we learn that the person who fasts even one day seeking the face of Allah, and then he ends the fast like that, meaning from the beginning till the end, the fast was sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then dakhal al-jannah. Such a person will enter paradise. We also learn that in the grave, fasting will shield a person from punishment. Because when a person is laid in the grave and people walk away, and then a person is questioned, right, by the angels, and then punishment begins to approach a person from the side of his head, from the side of his arms, from the side of his feet, from his right side, his left side, then his good deeds come and become a shield, right? They become a shield. They say, no, you cannot come through my way. So fasting is also a means of protection against punishment of the grave. Then fasting will also intercede for a person on the day of judgment. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel very alone, where you feel like you cannot advocate for yourself, and you don't even know how to bring yourself out of that difficulty, and then someone just comes and they advocate for you? Maybe you've heard stories like that. Maybe you've experienced this yourself, that you don't know how to help yourself. You are unable to help yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just sends someone out of His mercy to advocate for you, right? To make sure that you are no longer in difficulty. Now imagine on the day of judgment, a person's fasts will come and intercede for him. That, Ya Allah, forgive him. Ya Allah, make this person enter paradise. Ya Allah, overlook this person's mistakes. So fasting will be a means of intercession for a person on the day of judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is the one in which Quran was revealed. Why is this mentioned over here? This is showing us the significance of the month of Ramadan, how the month of Ramadan is so special, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this month for fasting. And you think about it, fasting could have been at any time of the year, right? Could have been in Shawwal, could have been in Dhul Hijjah, Dhul Qa'da, could have been in Muharram. There's 12 months. But out of all those months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Ramadan. Why Ramadan? Because it is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And the revelation of the Quran began in the month of Ramadan, on the most blessed night, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. Whoever witnesses that month among you, then he should fast during that month. So the fasting that is obligatory is the fasting in the month of Ramadan. Now, how special is the month of Ramadan? First of all, remember that the month of Ramadan is Shahrum Mubarak. It is a blessed month, a month of barakah, a month of blessing. And you experience that blessing. Because on other days, maybe sleeping 5 hours will not suffice you. But in the month of Ramadan, even 4 hours, somehow you survive, right? You sleep little in the night, you manage to get a nap during the day, and somehow you survive. And you don't just survive, you actually accomplish a lot. Bi-idhnillah. Some people, mashallah, they manage to recite the entire Quran in the month of Ramadan. Sometimes, some people once, some people two times, they manage to recite the entire Quran. Some people do even more than that. Some people less than that. But the amount of recitation that people typically do in Ramadan is more than the amount of recitation they do in the rest of the year. Isn't it? And this is while fasting. And while praying Taraweeh in the night. And while going to masjid, to the masjid every single night. So this is the barakah, right? This is the time of getting so much done, right? So it is a blessed month. And it is a month in which a person can receive a lot of goodness. A lot of goodness. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned the virtues of the month of Ramadan. And he also said that in it is a night that is better than 1,000 months. That is Laylatul Qadr. And this is a time when people are eager to do good. And we are invited. There is an announcer who announces that Ya Baghi al Khayri Aqbil, right? That O seeker of goodness, advance, accelerate now, come forward now. Come and do all the good that you can. And in the month of Ramadan, like I mentioned earlier, different types of good deeds are gathered for you, right? You're able to fast, you're able to pray in the night, you're able to speak good to people. Many people intend to go for Umrah in the month of Ramadan. That is equivalent to the reward of Hajj, right? So many good deeds are combined together. And this is a month in which people also receive forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a month when the gates of the sky are opened up, which means that we should send as many good deeds up as possible. And we should also send as many requests, meaning make as much dua as possible, right? You know, for example, if someone says that you can call between this time and this time, right? Any time, as many times as you want, right? We will take as many calls as we can. So that's an open invitation, that go ahead and call, right? Sometimes, you know, professors will open up their office hours. What does that mean? You can go and sit there for 5 minutes. You can go and talk to them for half an hour, for 1 hour. Within those hours, you can take advantage. The gates of the sky are opened in the month of Ramadan. This is an encouragement to us. Ask, make dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't just ask once a day, okay? Or once in Ramadan. Make dua. Every single day, every single night, sitting, standing, walking. You know, all of the worries and concerns you have and all the wishes you have, your bucket list, whatever, your dreams, you know, your goals, no matter how crazy they seem to people or no matter how far-fetched they seem, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua for yourself, make dua for your loved ones, make dua for your family, your friends. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for different things. I mean, if you look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was the most successful human being. Right? The most successful human being. And even in worldly standards, he accomplished what people are not able to accomplish. And what resources did he have at his disposal? Not many. I mean, if you think about it, he didn't have a lot of wealth. He didn't have a lot of free time, right? He wasn't such that he didn't have any family obligations. He had many wives, right? So think about it. With so much in his life, and he also had many, many haters, many enemies. Subhanallah. Still, he was able to accomplish so much. Of course, that's because he had the help of Allah. But one thing we see in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he called upon Allah a lot. He was the best worshipper. He was the one who worshipped Allah the most. Right? And what is the essence of worship? What is it? It is dua. So, and if you look at the, you know, different books of dua in which masnoon duas are collected, how many are they? I mean, those books are not just a few pages long. I mean, thick. They're big. So many du'as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. And I'm sure if you set a goal for yourself that every day I'm going to read this book of masnoon du'as, right? I'm sure there are days when you're not able to complete the whole book, right? You intend to, but you don't get to the last page, isn't it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made so many du'as. So we should do the same. Especially in the month of Ramadan. And you know, if you set a target for yourself, and I would encourage you that actually use a physical book. Don't just use an app. Because what will happen with an app, you will think about, oh, I should be making du'as. You will pick up your phone, notifications. Even if you've turned off all notifications, you know, it's your the pattern that you have developed over months and years is that instantly your finger will go to a certain app. And then swipe, and then another app, and then swipe, and then another app. Even if you checked it like 5 minutes ago, isn't it? And then you forget why you picked up your phone. So in the month of Ramadan, create a distance between yourself and your phone. Okay? A physical distance. Do some physical distancing. Right? And keep your books with you. The bookstore is open now? Yeah? Alhamdulillah. So you can purchase for yourself and for your loved ones small books. Right? And cards, even, of du'as, tasbihat, dhikr, right? And set a goal for yourself that today, between, you know, this time and this time, I'm going to read these many pages, right? Or I'm going to make this much du'a. At the time of iftar, make du'a. In the night, make du'a. You know, sometimes when you go for taraweeh, between the two prayers, there is a gap. And sometimes people will, you know, just sit and stare. Sometimes people will chat. And it's okay. You need a break. But if there is a long break, you could literally take that book out and start making dua. Right? So keep a book and a bookmark. Okay? A physical bookmark so that you know where you are stopping so that you can pick up from there next time you open the book. Right? So... Oh, excellent. You can get a bookmark with dua on it as well. MashaAllah. So in the month of Ramadan, the gates of the sky are opened up. So send up your good deeds and your du'as. In the month of Ramadan, the gates of paradise are opened, right? And the gates of hellfire are closed. Shayateen are locked up. This is the month in which people are freed from hellfire. Meaning if a person is destined to go to hellfire, given how their record is, then this is a time for transformation and changing your trajectory, your future. This is literally a time where you can change who you are. This is a transformative month. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah that the month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was revealed. And the Quran is hudan linnas wa bayyinatin minal huda wal furqan. The Quran is guidance for all people. And it is also clear evidences, meaning the Quran contains clear evidences of guidance and criterion, meaning the Quran contains verses which are which bring healing to the heart. You see, there are two diseases of the heart. There are diseases which are related to shubuhat, doubts about Allah, questioning God's wisdom, questioning His actions. Okay? People have a lot of such questions. Why does evil exist? Why did such a terrible thing happen in the world? How come a child so little, so young, so pure, you know, in our eyes, he has died? You know, people have these questions, and these questions eventually lead to doubts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, His actions, His knowledge, His power, His decisions, right? Sometimes people have doubts about the Quran, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the other diseases are those which are related to shahawat, desires. Like for example, a person really enjoys talking bad about certain individuals. Okay, this is a shahwa of the heart, okay, where a person only finds satisfaction when they have done some backbiting of a particular person that they dislike. When they've eaten their flesh, then they feel satiated. This is a disease of the heart. This is a shahwa. So both of these diseases, you know about disease, it can be fatal, right? So these diseases are very dangerous, and we need to cure them. And we also need to build our immunity, right? So that we don't get affected by these diseases, right? When there is exposure. So the Quran, the verses of the Quran, they are a healing for these diseases, because the verses of the Quran are bayinat, clear evidences. So if a person has doubts, those doubts are dispelled. And if a person has a strong inclination to disobey Allah, then again, the verses of the Quran are such that they will destroy that inner inclination. They will fill you with fear, right? They will become a strong deterrent that you don't even think about going towards those acts of disobedience. So this shows us that it's very important for us to stay connected with the Quran, right? Because the Quran is healing. So this ayah is mentioned within these verses because in this is a hint that we need to connect with the Book of Allah in the month of Ramadan. And how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam connect with the Book of Allah in the month of Ramadan? How did he do that? He would review it, right? He would recite it to Jibreel, and then he would listen to it from Jibreel. So think about it. Are you going to recite the Quran? Insha'Allah, make that intention. Every single day, every single night, you're going to recite some portion of the Quran, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you tawfiq to do. And you know, sometimes the recitation of the Quran at the beginning is difficult. Meaning, it's hard to convince yourself to sit down and open the Quran and start reciting. Okay? For some people, it's hard to recite more than a page. And some people, what happens is that the moment they pick up the Mus'haf and they open it up, they count the lines. Okay? They look at the clock, they count the lines. And then they see, okay, if I read the surah, how many pages is it? And then they're constantly checking, okay, this many pages left, this many pages left, this many pages left. It's hard for them. It's difficult. And the thing is that at the beginning, you may experience difficulty, but then there comes a point where you start enjoying and you don't want to stop. You want to keep reading, right? So, assure yourself that it's okay. Hey, it's hard. It's okay. You can do it. You can do it. You know, like how you encourage your children. It's okay, beta. You can do it. Keep sitting. I see that you're working really hard, right? You pump them up. And the same way, encourage yourself. I'm working hard, right? And inshallah, I can do this. I want to do this. And remind yourself that there is reward for every letter, right? For every letter. And think about it. Some people, mashallah, they can recite the entire juz in 20 minutes, mashallah. Some people can barely get through a page in 20 minutes, right? Some people, they're so fluent that they can recite easily without stopping anywhere. Meaning the entire ayah without stopping anywhere. Some people, after a few words, they stop and then they go back and they repeat the word, or they repeat half the ayah, they repeat half the line. They're reading more. And if you're reading more, that means you are getting more reward, because there is reward for every letter. Right? So be eager to recite Quran. And also listen to the Quran. Listen to the Quran. That is also helpful. That is also rewardable. And not only recite and listen, but also reflect on its meanings. Learn its meanings if you don't know them, or at least review them, even if you've studied them before. Because the Quran is for the purpose of tadabbur, not just recitation, but also reflection. And tadabbur is what brings change in our actions, in our lives. You can only implement something when you understand it, right? And you know very well that theory alone is not sufficient. Along with the theory, you also need the practical, right? So you need to relate it with your life. And how will you relate it with your life? When you reflect on it. So if there's a class that you can join, if there's a lecture series that you can listen to, something that will remind you about what the Quran is telling you to do. Because knowledge alone is not enough. Reminders are needed. Motivation is needed. So let's connect with the Quran in the month of Ramadan. So هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمْ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. And then it is said, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. And if a person is unwell or they're traveling, then they will make up the days, they will make up the number in other days of the year. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. He does not want difficulty for you. Can we remember this rule in life, this principle? That Allah wants ease for you. He does not want difficulty for you. And this is mentioned over here especially because look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about fasting in these verses. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us so beautifully. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that fasting was prescribed in the people before you too. So you're not alone. You're not the only one. You're not being given something that's, you know, extremely difficult, right? It's humanly possible for you. It's actually beneficial for you. You know, for example, when you find out that someone, when you meet a person who has done something that you also intend to do or you want to do, then just seeing them, meeting them, talking to them, that brings you not only inspiration, but also that realization that, you know what, I think I can do it, right? If they can do it, I can also do it, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for us. And this is why he's, you know, he mentions over here how fasting is something that people before you also did. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassures us that fasting is just for a few days, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the best month for fasting. So Allah wants ease for you. He does not want hardship for you. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. Allah wants you to complete the number. Meaning the number of fasts in Ramadan, that number should be complete. So if for some reason you're not able to fast in Ramadan, like for example, if a woman is menstruating, she's not going to fast in those days. Then she's going to make up those days later on. The number has to be complete. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. And so that you glorify Allah because He guided you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided you by sending the Quran, by commanding you to fast, by teaching you how to fast, by giving you the ability to fast. This is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. So what should you do then? Glorify Allah. And this is why on the day of Eid, what do we say? How do we celebrate? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar. Right? So the day of Eid is the day of takbirat. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And so that you all are grateful. Meaning, be grateful. Be grateful for what? That Allah wants ease for you. Be grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want difficulty for you. Be grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the command to fast. Because if fasting was not obligatory, would we fast? Think about it. You know, there's many things which are not which are rewardable, but they're not obligatory. Some people do them, some people don't. So isn't it a blessing of Allah that He has made fasting an obligation on us? Alhamdulillah, that we're then able to perform this act of worship. Otherwise, the way the nafs is, the way the shaitan has influence on a person, we would fall really behind, right? So be grateful for that. And how should we be grateful? By fasting in the month of Ramadan, by completing the number of fasts, if we're not able to fast in Ramadan, and at the same time, refraining from any acts of disobedience or things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Because shukr is the opposite of ma'asi, right? It's the opposite of disobeying Allah, right? You know, for example, this is understood. If your child says, thank you, mom, and then the next moment they do something that you have explicitly told them not to do, what kind of a thanks is that? Is that acceptable? No, you wouldn't accept it. Like, this is not real thanks. This is just lip service, right? So gratitude is with obedience. It is not with disobedience. So show gratitude to Allah by obeying Allah. And this means that in the month of Ramadan, we need to be very careful about the kind of things we're doing. Be careful about what you are watching on your phone, what you are doing, what you are writing, what you are listening to, what you are saying, what kind of language you're using, right? Because shukr is with obedience. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my slaves ask you about me, then indeed I am near. When my slaves ask you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about me, then I am near. It hasn't been said that tell them I am near. فَقُلْ إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the answer Himself. Which means that there is nothing between you and Allah. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that close to you that you can talk to Him directly. You can call upon Him directly. You don't need someone in the middle. You are worthy of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, I am near. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. How? That He listens to our du'as, even when we whisper them. You know, Zakariya alayhi salam, how did he make du'a? Nida'an khafiyya. His du'a was khafi. It was a secret. Okay, it was hidden from the people. No human heard that du'a. Why? Because if he would say it in front of other people, people would look at him and say, are you okay? Because what was he praying for in his old age with white hair and weak bones? What was he praying for? A child with a wife who was barren, who had never had any child, who was also old. That's the dua that he made. So he made it khafiyya. He made it very secretly. Because you know, people judge you, isn't it? They judge you for your wishes, for your goals, your dreams, your desires, you know, the things that you want to do in life. People immediately judge you. They look down at you. They say, they give you the message that you're not worthy. This is not possible for you. You're never going to get this. You're never going to be able to do this. But you can always ask Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And He is Qareeb. So He is Qareeb, He is close, He is near. How? That He listens to our du'as. Whether we make them quietly or loudly. And then He is Qareeb. Qareeb also means that He is near in terms of answering the du'a. Okay? Answering the du'a. And فَإِنِّي قَرِيب, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the call of the caller when he calls upon me. So what kind of a da'i are we? How do we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because you know, there are etiquette related to dua. There is adab, right? You know that, for example, if one person comes and requests you for something in a certain way, immediately you want to help them. And then there are other people who, when they come and demand things from you, and they think that you are some kind of Amazon account or, you know, something like that, then you're like, excuse me, you know? You make them realize what they're, you want to teach them a lesson. You know, like some children, they will come and demand money from their parents, right? They don't ask that, may I please? They say, where's your bank? Where's your Visa card? Some children, they're so daring, they don't even ask. They don't even tell. They just go and take it. Or they've taken a picture of it. And now, subhanAllah, with the phone, you can just save the card on your phone and you don't even need anyone's permission. So, how do we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are some etiquette related to that. And there is also etiquette related to when to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? To ensure that our dua is accepted. There's greater chances of dua being accepted. And inshallah, in the Ramadan program this year, the Ramadan program, which is Qareebun Mujib, that my Lord is near, my Lord is responsive. Inshallah, we're going to be going over the etiquette related to dua, the importance of dua, how we should be making dua. We'll be looking at the examples of the prophets and the righteous, how they called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered them, how Allah responded to them. And then inshallah, every day, we will go over a theme. So for example, the theme of knowledge. So du'as related to ilm. What kind of du'as are mentioned in the Quran? What kind of du'as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made? Du'as related to family. All right. What du'as are mentioned in the Quran? And what kind of du'as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made? So inshallah, this is the Ramadan program this year. And make sure that you attend yourselves and also spread the news, inshallah. So, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So, they should also respond to me, meaning if we want our du'as to be answered, we should respond to Allah with obedience, and we should have faith in Allah, we should believe in Allah, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, so that they're rightly guided. Any du'a guides you through your life. Okay, when you call upon Allah, you are able to navigate through your life. Isn't it difficult to make decisions on your own and to know that you are solely responsible for the decisions that you make? Right? And that fear is what makes us so indecisive and so hesitant that we're not able to do anything. And we're always confused. Should I not? And even while we're doing something, we're confused. Should I not? Should I stop? Should I just quit and go back? So how do you come out of this confusion? By making dua to Allah, by asking Allah, that Ya Allah, you guide me to what is best for me. You show me the best way. So لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So we learn from this that in the month of Ramadan, we should especially be making du'as. We learn in a hadith that in every day and every night of Ramadan, for every slave is da'watun mustajaba, is a dua that is certainly responded. So while you're fasting and you are in a state of worship, that is an excellent time to make dua. And in the night also, the excellent time of making dua, because that is a time of closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. And we also learned that the person who is fasting, their dua is not rejected. So in the month of Ramadan, we should be making du'as. And really plead with Allah. Ask with humility. And ask again and again. You know, some things that you're really eager for, make a list. And you can, you know, hide that list in your du'a book so that nobody can see it if you want. Right? And keep that list with you and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those things. every single day, every single night. And don't hesitate. I remember many years ago, I did this, that I put a few things, I listed them, and I made sure that I made those du'as every single day. And one of the things that I prayed for every single day was a school building for Al Huda School, for Al Huda Elementary. And at that time, Al Huda Elementary was operating out of this building. Now, I don't go to Al Huda Elementary. I don't study there. My kids do, right? But at that time, you know, they were very little and school was fine. But, you know, when there's khair, when there's goodness, you want that goodness to increase. And I remember I would make that dua every single day. And I left that list in my dua book. Okay. And somehow, you know, I did not see it until next Ramadan, that list. Because it was in the book, you know, as a bookmark. And I didn't bother to, you know, read it again. And the next Ramadan, I was just making sure that my book was clean. I was removing all the post-its and, you know, because I wanted to start fresh. And I saw that list and I was like, Allahu Akbar. I had forgotten that I had been making dua for that. And alhamdulillah, the school is now operating out of a new building. This was many years ago. But I had forgotten that I was making dua for that. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are vast. So ask a lot. When we ask people, that's not nice, all right? But when we ask Allah, that is actually very, very nice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to worship Him with excellence in this month. Ameen. Rabbi a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh my Lord, help me to remember you, to be grateful to you, and to worship you in an excellent way. Make that dua for yourself and beg Allah that Allah gives us the ability to reach Ramadan and experience it and make the most of it, that we are able to fast. If we're not able to fast, then we're able to do other deeds that will also increase us in our ranks so that we don't get left behind. Inshallah. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khayran kathira. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.